Have you ever tried to play, or have you ever heard anyone play a piano that had some of the notes which were out of tune? Our church has a contract with a piano tuner. About twice a year, he comes to tune the various instruments scattered across our three buildings. And if I know he is coming, I try to find some excuse to be out of the church that day. He sounds like Johnny One Note. He sets and he ping, 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 ping as he's getting a particular string in tune till I feel like I'm ready to go up the wall. Now, it occurred to me one day, wondering if it got on his nerves too. And so I went over to talk to him. And learned in the process quite a bit about pianos and tuning them that I'd never known before. One of the secrets I've learned is this. It is the right tension that makes the melody. Without tension, you get a dull sound, a sound that's out of tune. By the same token, if there's too much tension, it is still discordant and still out of tune. The right sound demands the right tension. Too little, too much makes it off key. Now, our text for this morning says that you and I should sing and make melody to the Lord with all our hearts. Are you happy this morning? What kind of tune is your heart playing? Is it off key? Discordant? Is the song your heart sings unhappy and out of tune? Do you have just the right kind of tension to make your heart sing in tune? Now, the first thing I want to talk about this morning is tension. The question is this: where does our tension come from? Now, some may say that our tension comes from the world about us. Some people think if they could just change their environment, if they could just change their jobs, if they could just change their circumstances, and some even think if they could just change their mates, they would be happy and their hearts would sing a happy song. But here's the problem. Tension is not really created by the things outside us. Tension comes from within. It comes from how we respond to what's going on around us. Did you know that? It's our inner response that's getting us out of tune. For example, doctors tell us that many of our ailments are caused by internal turmoil. Migraine headaches, some forms of asthma, ulcers, hypertension, bad backs, heart problems, obesity, and many other physical problems may have their origin in how we are responding to the world around us. I have a friend who's unhappy in his job. By the time he gets home from work each day, the muscles in his neck and in his back have tensed until they're beginning to cramp. And he usually comes in the house rubbing his neck and saying, "That job is a pain in the neck." And that is literally true, and that's where the expression comes from. But it's not the job that's causing the pain. It's how he's responding to it in his heart. He can't sing and make melody to the Lord because his heart doesn't have the right tension. It's out of tune. Do you remember Victor Hugo's story entitled 93? Now, in this story, a sailing ship is caught in a terrific storm. And at the height of the storm, when things are at their very worst, the frightened crew suddenly hears above the wind and the waves an even more ominous sound. There's a terrible crashing below decks. And instantly, they all know what has happened. A cannon they are carrying as cargo has broken loose. And as the ship tosses from side to side, that huge cannon on its wheels is rolling first one way and then the other. And they knew that very shortly it is going to crash through the side of the ship, and the ship will be lost with all of them. Two men, at the risk of their own lives, go below and at last manage to get a rope on the wayward cannon and secure it once more. It is a job that has to be done because the danger from within is far more real and urgent than the storm from without. Well, so it is with us. What's going on inside is the most dangerous. And while the storms of life may assail us from without, it is how we are responding to them that makes the greater danger. It is the danger from within, emotions let loose in our hearts that are crashing about, threatening to sink us. The trick, you see, is not so much to still the storm as it is to stop the cannon from crashing about and sinking us. Does that make sense to you? Now, the second thing I want to talk about is the need to have the right amount of tension. As I said earlier, it's the right amount in a piano string that makes the melody. Too much or too little makes the string out of tune. It spoils the whole thing. So it is in life. Life must have some tension. Did you know that? It is the creative tensions in life out of which many great things have been spawned. So tension in a certain amount, the right amount, is very important. A lot of people want to take all of the tension out of life today. We have become a nation that wants to live off of tranquilizers. We're told that more and more people are taking tension-relieving drugs. There is a growing number of chemically dependent people, people who are taking all kinds of drugs, heroin, hash, alcohol, trying to escape life, trying to relieve pressures and tensions they feel they just can't cope with. It is a form of escapism where, at least for a moment, a person does not have to face up to the realities of life. The only problem is, It creates additional pressures and tensions. I remember very vividly a young man in a congregation I served in Texas, 22 years old, already an alcoholic. And he said to me, "The reason I drink is because I drink and drink until a little switch inside of me flips. And when that happens, just for a moment, the world is okay." However, by the same token, too much tension is not good either. Over a year ago, I was trying to tune my guitar. And as I tightened one of the strings, I overdid it, and suddenly the string popped with a great twang. Incidentally, my son Peter promised to restring my guitar for me. And that was over a year ago, and he has never done it. Would all of you who know him, the next time you see him, say, "Peter, when are you going to restring your father's guitar?" But I have seen people pop like a guitar string. A part of my job as a minister is to work with people who are under too much pressure. Life for them does not work too well. Most of us know what it is to go through times when we go to bed and we just can't sleep. Our minds are racing. We know what it is to be tied in emotional knots so that we can't relax. No, too much tension isn't good either, and it gets our hearts out of tune. There's no melody when the strings are too tight. But how do you get your heart in tune? If tension is created by how you respond to circumstances in your life, our first point, and if too much response or too little response gets you out of tune, our second point, the real question is this: how do you get your heart in tune? Well, that's a good question, is it not? Just how does one deal with tension in life so that one can sing and make melody to the Lord with all one's heart? Now, St. Paul gives us two clues in our scripture for this morning. Here is the first clue. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, you know, I'm excited that in this century, the Christian church has been in the process of rediscovering the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. For too long, the church really talked about God the Father and God the Son, and we forgot about the incredible work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God that God has given to the church. And we are now becoming more Trinitarian. So I want to talk about being filled with the Spirit. Imagine an empty glass. Now you can put a little in it and you can fill it halfway or even two-thirds of the way and still have some room left over for a little bit of God. But if you pour your glass filled to the rim, whatever you put in there, it can't hold anything else. And I know a lot of people who fill their lives so with garbage, there's no room for God. My problem is that I've got my glass partially filled with a lot of worldly things. Greed, lust, self, ambition. And those are just a few of the things in my heart. And there's a little left over for God. But the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit. How can I be filled with the Spirit if my heart is already partially filled? I suspect you have the same problem too. Well, before I can let God fill my heart, I've got to empty it of a lot of other garbage. Let me give you an example. When something goes wrong in your life, or you are faced with some decision, what do you do? Don't you say something like this, "Well, what shall I do? What shall I do?" Do you remember a parable Jesus told about that very thing? In the parable, it seems, a rich man had so much goods he didn't know what to do with them because his barns weren't big enough to put it all in. And he faced a decision. And what question did he ask? Well, he said, "What shall I do? What shall I do?" But that was the wrong question, you see. And because he asked the wrong question, it was inevitable that he got the wrong answer. He said, "I'll tear down my barns, I'll build bigger ones, I'll put all my goods there, I've got it made, I have enough to last me forever, I'll eat, drink, and be merry." But that was the wrong answer because he had asked the wrong question. And Jesus said God had other plans for him because that very night his soul would be required of him. Well, what is the right question? You see, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there isn't anything left for self. That way I can never ask, "What shall I do?" Instead, I will ask God, "What do you want me to do?" Do you understand that? If I ask what I should do, that puts all the burden, all the duty, all the responsibility, all the consequences on me. And that may be more tension than I can handle. My heart will be totally out of tune. But if I ask God, "What do you want me to do?" I'm seeking to be obedient, and the outcome, in a way, is really irrelevant. You see, God doesn't call me to be successful. He just calls me to be obedient and faithful. Success is His job. Does that make good sense to you? You see, the real question is, what does God want to do through you? And once you know that, you don't take yourself too seriously anymore. After all, it isn't what you're doing, it's what God's doing through you. So trying to do what God wants you to do gives just the right amount of tension. If I feel responsible, asking, "What shall I do?" that's going to be too much tension. If I reject responsibility, in effect saying I have no responsibility, no duty, there will be no tension. And in either case, my heart is out of tune. But being in tune with God means trying to do what God wants me to do. See how it works. Suppose you're faced with a job change. How do you make that decision? You can evaluate it in terms of the job future, on the pay scale, on the opportunities for promotion, and any number of other things. But that puts the decision totally on you. After all, the real question is this: does God want me to change jobs? Now, once you realize that, you can never take yourself too seriously again. Or here's another example. Suppose you're having trouble in your marriage. Now, you may ask, what must my spouse do to make my marriage happy? A lot of us do that. Or you may ask, what must I do to get along with my spouse? But those are all the wrong questions. The right question is this: God, how do you want me to relate to my spouse? God, how do you want me to relate to my parents? God, how do you want me to relate to my children? And that's the only way to make your marriage something to sing about. Yes, be filled with the Spirit. That means, first of all, to let God be in control of your life. That's the first clue for dealing with tension, because you suddenly aren't taking yourself too seriously anymore. Now, here's the second clue. Don't take what is happening to you too seriously. Does that sound ridiculous? Well, to a non-Christian it does. How can you not take what happens to you seriously? Yet for the Christian, St. Paul says that we are always and for everything to give thanks. Can you believe he said that? We are always, every time, forever, always and for everything to give thanks. Isn't that silly? How can you give thanks all the time for everything? And yet that's exactly what the Bible says. Do you know why it says that? It is because you know that whatever is happening to you and to your loved ones, God is at work in it to bring good out of it. And God's in control, not the world. So every time something happens, no matter what it is, I can give thanks. I can trust God that He is at work in it because He loves me, and out of it He will bring good. I have a great sermon I preached some years ago, and let a couple more years go by. I'm going to preach it again because you will have forgotten it. But it's entitled, God and the Fifth Sparrow. And the reason the sermon has that title is this: is because of this. In one place Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? One penny buys two sparrows. Then in another place he says, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? So if you buy two pennies worth of sparrows, you get an extra one just thrown in for nothing because it isn't worth anything. But Jesus says that God loves even the fifth sparrow, that it cannot fall to the ground without God. And you are worth, says Jesus, more than many sparrows. Therefore, God knows what's happening in my life. And if it is bad, I know that God still loves me and He will bring good out of it. And I just don't have to take life too seriously. Can your heart comprehend that incredibly good news, that happy tune? Well, there are two clues for getting just the right tension in life. First, you don't take yourself too seriously anymore. God, what do you want me to do? Secondly, you don't take life too seriously because, God, I know out of it you're going to bring good. And with just that right tension, you are in tune and you can sing and make melody to the Lord with all of your heart. You can sing a happy song and be in tune with God. Let me give you just one illustration of how it works. Frances Fowler Allen tells the story that she calls the ugly earrings. She writes, recently my husband was hospitalized with a serious illness, and I had to wait hours outside the intensive care unit for each few minutes I was allowed in. To add to my worries, the other visitors were usually noisy and emotional. A woman sitting next to me was especially annoying. She was physically unattractive and overly made up. Her hair was dyed an improbable shade of red. While waiting, she would take off her shoes and stretch out in the chair, wiggle her toes and turn them up, uttering irritating little sighs. She smoked continuously. frostily. I discouraged her attempts at conversation. But one thing she did attracted my attention. When she was allowed in to see her husband, she would take a pair of huge rhinestone earrings from her purse and screw them on her ears. I thought they were the cheapest looking, most out of place things I had ever seen. Incredibly ugly earrings. Mrs. Allen goes on to tell how the woman came out of the intensive care unit one night, tears streaming down her cheeks. And Mrs. Allen was overwhelmed by the grief of the woman and forgot all the little things that she didn't like about this lady. And she asked if she could help. And the woman replied, "There's nothing more to do. The doctor just told me that my husband wouldn't get any better, and now it's just a matter of hours. But I'm trusting God to see me through all of this." And she said that as she unscrewed the ugly earrings. She held them in her hand for a moment and then explained quietly, "They hurt my ears terribly, and they look awful. But he gave them to me. He likes to see them shining in the dark." Her pocketbook closed on the glittering rhinestones that Mrs. Allen had thought were so ugly and now seemed so beautiful. Then she realized that that woman could wear those ugly earrings because she wasn't taking herself too seriously anymore, and she could handle her husband's impending death because she trusted God and she didn't take the world too seriously anymore. When life has done its worst to you, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can ask God, "God, what do you want me to do?" You can give thanks always and for everything because you know God loves you. And out of the worst, He will bring good. And then your piano will be in tune, and you can sing and make melody to the Lord with all your heart. Why, you can even wear the ugly earrings. Let us pray.